From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is a special fundraising episode of Reveal. I'm Al Ledson. Migration is such a big issue in the U.S. that it's easy to lose sight that it's playing out all over the world, from Europe all the way to Australia. This next story takes place on an island called Nauru. It's a tiny country in the middle of the South Pacific. It's where the Australian government has held thousands of refugees and asylum seekers it doesn't want to let into the country. Some families have been stuck there for 5 years, with parents watching their children succumb to a mental illness spreading through the detention camp almost like a virus. Children refusing to eat or drink and sometimes becoming suicidal. It's an awful condition called resignation syndrome. Reporter Olivia Rousset from our partners at the Australian Broadcasting Corporation show, Background Briefing, helped expose the truth about Nauru. One of her stories is about a family, a mom and three sisters, who got separated by the crisis. Mona, the mother, was evacuated to Australia with her teen daughter, Aaliyah, after Aaliyah got sick. But things are getting dangerous for Lena and Haneen, two sisters left behind on Nauru. Here's Olivia.
Haneen is deteriorating fast. I get in touch with her older sister, Lena, who's in her early 20s. Both were left behind when their mother and sister flew to Australia.
Hello, Olivia. She's always in bed and I don't see her opening her eyes always.
Lena began sending me voice messages with updates on Haneen's condition.
It's been like, I don't know, more than 3 weeks. She didn't eat anything.
Lena is now caring full time for Haneen, just trying to keep her alive, even though she's not eating and is barely drinking water.
Yeah, I took her to the hospital on Tuesday night. Tuesday night, around 7 o'clock, so I went inside. I just told them I want to put for her a drip.
The only place Lena can get Haneen on an IV drip is at the local Republic of Nauru hospital.
I have some voices, like I record some. I will send it to you.
How many days she know it? How many days?
You know?
Don't know? Okay. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Open your eyes, please.
This nurse is trying to insert a drip into Hanin's arm.
It's going to be hard because she's not making a fist. Sorry.
She's unresponsive and her severe dehydration makes it difficult for nurses to find a vein.
Be strong, okay? I need to put another one. Huh? You need to make a fist. Make a fist for me, please.
After Hanin's given the drip at the hospital, Lena is told to take her unresponsive sister back home.
So this is my third time I take her to the hospital. But this time they don't want to keep her in the hospital because they say that mental health, even the one lady from the government, she came to the hospital and she told me that you guys will not allow to stay here for long. When the doctor tell you that you have to leave, you have to leave. Because this is not a mental health hospital.
Lena's worried this treatment isn't enough to keep her sister alive. And she keeps saying to me, are they waiting for my sister to die? The Nauruan government never got back to me about any of my questions for this story. And the Australian government says there is adequate medical treatment for refugees on Nauru. But Haneen has been sick for around 2 months and has gotten no mental health treatment. Doctors Without Borders says that Haneen needs to be evacuated to Australia for medical care and to be with her mother. They say it's her only chance of recovering. Lena says her sister is only getting worse.
Yes, I'm scared because it's been a long time, like she hasn't eaten, like when we was in the hospital, like they say that she's getting only better because of this drip. So if you take out the drip, that might, her blood pressure will go low again and her sugar. And I don't know if also only the drip and the stuff will help her body. and now even around her eyes, it's getting like black, and she's getting skinny. Now she's not doing anything, she's not responding to me. And a few times, like, her eyes go like shaking. I really don't like to see my sisters like this, my family like this. I never imagined that these things might happen to my family. But now it's happening.
The federal court at Phillip Street?
5 days after Lena sent me her last message, her lawyer, Anna Talbot, is finally on her way to court to try and get Hanin transferred to Australia for emergency medical care.
The thing that really gets me is it was actually predicted in the medical records of the younger sister that the one that we're going to court for today would develop the same symptoms. So it's not like this is a surprise to the government that we're heading back to court again, and yet we are.
In Australia, she'd be able to get the treatment she needs for resignation syndrome.
The evidence that we have is that she won't actually get better if she's not joined with her complete family. It's basically PTSD. A lot of people liken it to PTSD, and the treatment for that is feeling safe and secure and not having worries about family members and those sorts of things. So, can I get a receipt, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Anna and another National Justice Project lawyer, Emma Hearn, take their case before the judge. We can't follow them into record. It's against the law. But I get the latest from Anna as soon as she leaves the courtroom. So what happened?
They agreed to bring them to Australia, which is a big relief.
Anna says there were no objections from the government's lawyers. The judge ruled Hanin and Lena can be reunited with their mother and sister.
Does that mean they'll come soon?
We don't know. We don't know where they're going, we don't know when they're travelling, but we know that there's court orders to get them here.
I ask if she's gotten a chance to tell Lena the news.
I've just texted her to tell her that she's coming to Australia.
What did she say?
Sorry. I'm quite tired.
It's all right.
Anna pulls up a text message on her phone from Lena.
It's great news, really. Thank you a lot. Really, thank you a lot. After the last time we went to court for this family, I cried a lot as well, so at least this is good crying.
There's no way of knowing what kind of long-term effects her kids might suffer, but at least Mona's nightmare of separation from them will soon be over. In October last year, the day after this story first aired in Australia, Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton announced the Australian government's new position on refugee and asylum seeker children on Nauru.
We want to get kids off Nauru. That's the stated intention. I don't want anyone in detention. We're working through the arrangement that we've got. We've got down to 50 children. Our intention is to get it down to zero, but to do it in a way that doesn't restart boats.
He means boats full of people seeking asylum. Boat trips, he claims, could ramp up if people are no longer scared of getting stuck on Nauru. The Department of Home Affairs sent me a statement. It said it's now removing children from Nauru quietly and sensibly in accordance with our policies.
Olivia, your reporting first aired in October of last year. So how are Lena, Hanin, Aaliyah and their mother doing now?
Well, Lena and Hanin spent some time locked in detention once they got to Australia, but they've been finally reunited with their mum and Alia. And Hanin is eating and she's talking, but they say that she's still very skinny and weak. And Alia is still seeing a psychologist, but she started going to school in their new temporary home. And all of them are living in this kind of insecure legal limbo because they could be removed from Australia at any time.
It sounds like, for now at least, the crisis for kids on Nauru is almost resolved.
It is. But you know, Al, even though the kids are off, this is far from over. There are hundreds of adults in the same situation. Many of them are suicidal, without enough medical care, even suffering from resignation syndrome. Some of them arrived on Nauru as children, without their parents. But they've now turned 18, so the policy doesn't apply to them. These people tell me that with the kids gone, they fear that they will be forgotten.
That's reporter Olivia Rousset. We also want to thank Alice Brennan, host and executive producer of the Australian Broadcasting Corporation show Background Briefing. We work hard to cultivate partnerships like this one so we can bring you stories from all over the world, stories that make a difference. If you'd like to support work like this, give to your public radio station. Here's how.